Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. We are 12 lines from the top. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas Shulames Bas Yaakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the Gemara is trying to prove whether or not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Chachamim agree with him or they do not agree with him in the concept of Nidrei Zruzim, the motivation of Nedarim, not being Chal. So says the Gemara, because he extended it past what the original Mishnah had told us. Tashma Omer L'Chaveru Konim She'ata Ne'anili. So the next part of the Mishnah tells us, if someone says to his friend, Konem, whatever benefit you might derive from me, Im ata nosin li livni kor shalchitin shtei chavil shayayin, if you don't give my son a quart of wheat or a barrel, two barrels of wine, Rabbi Meir says, ad shiyitin. He's going to be forbidden to derive benefit from the person who made the neder until he gives the wheat and the wine to his son. Even this case, the Madir, the person who makes the neder, would be allowed to annul his vow through Hataras Nedarim without even bringing it to a Chacham. We don't need the formal Hataras Nedarim. Because he could say to his friend, it's as if I received the gift from you. So the Gemara again explains that the Madir wanted the gift for his own benefit, and he now states that he does not need it. So therefore, the fact that he's waiving the gift, that's like he received the gift. So l'chora, the person making the neder is saying that I've received the gift applies only, the Ran points this out, where the children are supported by him. Therefore he has the right to say that it was for his own benefit and he has the right to waive it. But if his children are at the age above where they're supporting themselves, which in the times of Gemara was already at the age of six, then he intended for their benefit and not his own, and in which case he would not be able to waive such an agreement. But either way, we see over here that when he accepts that when he says that as if I received it, that is going to be chal. So the Gemara is medayik. Now the Gemara says, "Taima de amarini ki ilu iskabalti." It comes out from the Mishnah that the only reason that it's not a neder is because he says, "It is as if I have received the gift." In which case, I love achit nederhu. But if it's not that case where he's not waving of his neder, the neder is in fact chal. Money. Now, who is going to be the author of this Mishnah? If it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're going to tell me it's the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Says the Gemara now, Nidrei Zruzin Have. That would be an example of Nidrei Zruzin, and the Neder should not have been Chal, even if he doesn't say, I have received it. So why does the fact that the Mishnah seem to indicate only if he says, I have received it, is the Neder not Chal, which indicates that otherwise it would be. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even if it doesn't say he has received it, that would going to be a Neder Zruzin. Because this Neder, again, what was the whole purpose of the Neder? Was to pressure his friend into giving the Madir what he wanted. So this is a classic example of Neder Zruzin, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and should not be Chal. So the Gemara says, Ela Lavraban, and a pliga lechor, we could bring a raya from over here. They don't hold this as Nidrei Zruzim. They don't hold these are motivational darim, but they're actually fully chal. So the neder is only going to be batel because it's going to, the madir is assuming that his conditions have been fulfilled. And because of the fact that the madir had assumed that his conditions have been fulfilled, that's the only reason that this neder is in fact going to be a neder that doesn't count. Otherwise, it would be a neder. So again, this is a problem with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So says Gemara, lo. La'olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Really, we are saying that this Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So then why is this Mishnah different than a regular example of what he held was a Nidrei Zruzin? Because the Gemara says, Umode Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Bahai de Nidra Have, that this is a full-fledged neder and not Nidrei Zruzin. Why? Because Mishum de Amar Lai Lav Malka Ana de Behani Lach Vatlod Enet Li. The Magyar can say to his friend, I am not a king that should, I'm gonna give you benefits to you without you giving benefits back to me. So in this way, it's a way of a melech to give others with benefits without receiving anything in return. So it's over, in this case, it's not clear that the Madir did not intend to make a neder. This isn't Nidrei Zruzin, because we could assume that the Madir does in fact want to make a neder, forbidding his friend to benefit from him if he does not reciprocate. And therefore, it's a full-fledged neder and not Nidrei Zruzin, because this maybe was his intent to make a full-fledged neder and different to the normal example of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Fine, so we don't have a raya from here. So says the Gemara, Amalei Mark Shisha Braid Rav Chista Ravashi. Tashma, I'll bring another raya from another Mishnah. We're going to get to it in a few dafim on Daf Chav Zayin. The Mishnah says, Nidrei Onsin. What is an example of Nidarim? Where it's going to be onus? It was certain circumstance that was made something beyond your control. You couldn't handle. There's nothing you could have done. So here's the following case as a Mishnah. Heidiru Chavera Shoyoy Chaletzlai. His friend declared a neder against him that he should eat with him. V'chala Ochal De Beno. He became sick, or his son became sick Oshak Fanor, there was all of a sudden there's a big wet river that overflowed or whatever it was that made him not be able to come. So again, the person making the inviter initiated the invitation. He made a neder against the person who he invited if he doesn't come. So clearly trying to make him come. Such a neder is going to be batel because we see over here that's nidre onsen. There was a circumstances beyond the control of the person who was invited that prevented him from coming. So now the Gemara is medayik in that Mishnah. L'chora, this Mishnah implies halava chi nederhu. If it had not been for this point, then in fact this would be a neder. And therefore, if let's say the person who was invited just decided to ignore the invitation, even based on this neder, then the neder would be chal, and the friend, he would be usher to the person who invited him to have a benefit from him. So the Gemara says, L'chora Mani, who is the author of this Mishnah? You're going to tell me Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you can tell me that's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, this would be a classic example of Zeruzinu. This is Mamish Zeruzin. This is exactly what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is talking about, a motivational neder, trying to motivate the person to come to your party. That's Mamish Nidre Zeruzin, and yet the Mishnah tells you, implies that it should be Chal had it not been for this case of Onas. El Alav Rabbanan Apliga. It must be that the Mishnah is in fact authored by the Rabbanan, and we can learn from them that they in fact argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara rejects this proof as well. La'olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Really, we could say this also is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Umi sarva to adre mazmana lizmana, that he made the neder from the one who is inviting to the one who was invited, meaning that's how we assume that the one who was inviting the person, Reuven was inviting Shimon, that Reuven was making the neder, that if Shimon doesn't come, that such a justice is going to happen is madir him. However, says the Gemara, no, maybe lo dezimna adre lemizmana. Really, that it was the person who was invited, he caused the Shimon, in our example, right? Reuven invited Shimon. It was really Shimon who wanted to be invited, caused Reuven to make the neder. And the Gemara is going to flesh this out. How do we have this? To Amar le mizamnet li lesadasach. So Shimon says to Reuven, are you going to invite me to your big party? And Amar le, and he says, sure, I'll invite you to the big party. And then the Gemara continues, neder ze alecha. So the Shimon says back to him, this neder is going to be upon you to declare all your possessions forbidden upon me, or my possessions is going to be back to you if I don't come. Vinader, and then the person, Reuven, who invited him, agreed to this as well and made the neder against Shimon if he doesn't come. And then, v'chalahu oshachalah b'no, and Shimon or his child became sick and couldn't come to the party. Or there was a river that prevented him from coming and it was an ones. Because these were a situation which the neder bichal, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because if it had not been for these cases of ones, these unavoidable circumstances from happening, then this neder would in fact be chal, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because this is not nidre zruzin. You can't say that the guy was trying to convince him to come because there was no need to pressure the Shimon at all. It was initiated by Shimon. And therefore, there was no need for this pressure. Shimon put it upon himself, so therefore, it is not Nidre Onsin, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov could agree with this as well. Fine, so now the Gemara wants to bring yet another proof. Tashma. Yeser al-Kin Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, ha-omer l'chaveiro. Someone says to his friend, konem sh'ani nehene l'cha im ata mis'areach etzli. A konem, whatever I benefit, might derive from you if you do not become my guest. You drink with me a nice hot drink and some hot bread. And the other one was responding of his own neder, saying, I'm making a neder, I'm not going to be with you. Av elu nidre zruzin. These are also considered nidre zruzin. So now, the braisa says, yeser al ken. So it's seeming like furthermore, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying a bigger chiddush than the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, the person is making the neder against Reuven with Shimon. You can't say that the guy, Reuven, means to actually make a neder, because he clearly wanted to just be mezarezim. That was clear. In the case of the Braisa, where the Reuven is declaring that he figured for benefit from Shimon, he could argue that he does really want to make a neder, because this case is going to be a bigger chiddush, that even here, he really wants to make a neder, yet Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that these are not going to be a neder. Af elin nidrus ruzin velo odil chachamim, and the chacham disagree with him. So again, according to the way we're explaining it, there's a big shaila in the Rishonim. We're just going to go with the simple way, is that when we say furthermore the Braisa, it's going to be a bigger chiddush. And this furthermore also is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and he doesn't consider it to be nidrus ruzin, and the chachamim disagree. So now the Gemara asks, my lo odil chachamim, what does the Braisa mean when it says the chachamim don't agree with him? Lav, turning on to next time now. They don't agree with him. Even in the first case, we're saying both cases they disagree with him. We can bring a proof from over here that Rabbanan in fact disagree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, Shmamina. So this is our girsa, that the Rabbanan in fact disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mishnah's case as well. That is the way we learn it. The Rashba has a very big question though. L'chora, maybe we can argue that only in the case where, in the case of the Braisa, do they disagree? Because that's a very big chiddush. But really, in the Mishnah's case, they would agree. Why? Where do you have a raya that they would disagree with the Mishnah? The Mishnah was much less of a chiddush. We stated that the Braisa was a bigger chiddush, so he disagreed with the Braisa. Fine. But says Rashba, Mehechi Tesi, that should be the case in the first case as well. So there actually is an alternative girsa that the Rashba and the Rash have, which is la bekamaisa lo baraisa. It does not mean even in the first case. And the Gemara answers la bekamaisa. No, the Gemara answers lo basraisa. No, really, only in the second case. Meaning the Gemara is rejecting the proof, saying that maybe only disagrees in the braisa. So that's what we have according to two different girsas. So either way, the Gemara asks, well, it's going to be a nafkamina between this point as my havila. How are we going to paskin? So either if we're saying like the first case, we've established that Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees in all cases according to the first version. In all cases, he disagrees, and therefore we're asking how do we paskin like Elazar ben Yaakov or like the Chachamim. In the second text that we have, would really be asking only on the case of the Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah, we don't necessarily have a raya that he disagrees. Should we follow Elazar ben Yaakov? So there's enough gemina. So I had to understand this. Tashma damra huna alachik Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, mechina mravada barava alachik Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Both of them say that the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So there'd be a big nafkaminam between our two girsas. In the first girsas version, then we're paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in both cases, because he disagrees with both, and we're paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov even in the braisa. But in the second version, where we weren't sure, only in the braisa disagreeing, so there we would say that we'd paskin like it. But in the reisha, maybe even Chacham agree with that, and therefore we'd be paskin like him. So it's a nafkamina how to understand if the Chacham disagree in the first case or not, and that would be, either way though, we really pass the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so both of them would be really, in practice, it wouldn't necessarily be, but in understanding, there would be a difference in the understanding. Okay, now we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, what is the example of Nidre Havai? Nidre Havai are exaggerated type of Nidar, says the Mishnah. Amar konim imlo ra'isi b'der chazek ha'olei mitzrayim. Person says, all these fruits are going to be ushered to me as a konim, if I did not see like the number of these people left Egypt from this street. Oh, or he says, "Im lo ra'isik nachash koros beisabad." I didn't see a snake the size of an olive press. So both things are obviously an exaggeration, because how many Yidden left? We know there were 600,000 men. So you're going to tell me you saw 600,000 people on this road? Clearly, that you didn't see that. That's almost never ever happened. So therefore, that would be a clear exaggeration. And also, with the example of the olive press, the Gemara seems to indicate later on tomorrow's daf that this is something which is completely impossible to be that size. So therefore, this is something which is so absurd that clearly he did not mean to make this neder whatsoever, and therefore the neder does not take effect. That's what we're assuming over here, and therefore the neder is not chal. So says the Gemara now, Tana nidre avai mutarin. A braisa says that the darim of exaggeration are permitted, shvuas avai asurin, that because we know that the shvuas in general are more chumr than a neder. Shvua, but we've quoted before, it says lo inakeh, that's one of the chumras of a shvua. You can't have you're not going to be forgiven for making a false shvua. So therefore, there's a chumra that by a shvua, it will not be automatically viewed as nothing. So therefore, that is the way that we're understanding it according to our girsa. Here again, there's a little bit of girsa problems on this daf specifically. There's another girsa that says tana keshem shnidre havai mutarim kach shvuas havai mutarim. So that would be very different. That we're saying that it's the same halacha according to this different girsa. So either way though, the Gemara is going to say, Hechi dami shvua savai. What is an example of an exaggeration of a shvua? Says the Gemara, Ilema damar shvua im lo ra'isi b'der chazeh. You're going to tell me it says, a shvua I didn't see on this road like the people who left Mitzrayim. So that would be exact parallel to the Nadarim. Midam kamar, you didn't say anything. Meaning, it's going to be clearly a condition which is not fulfilled and clearly not a shvua. So again, with our girsa, it kind of makes sense. If you're assuming that a shvua is, in fact, more chamor, so the Gemara is asking on this situation, really, this shouldn't be more chamor. It should be the same thing, where it's not chal at all. So it says the Gemara, Amra, Abaye, Da'amar, Shvua, Shara'isi. You say, a shvua that I saw. You're saying I saw a road like the number of men who left Egypt. The Braisa is teaching us that this type of shvua is going to be permitted because the shvua of the person making the shvua has seen a road of great people, which he's going to say, like the number of Olai Mitzrayim, And had the Brisa not taught us this, then I would have thought that while people use this in the case of Nedarim, maybe they don't use this when it comes to Shavuos, which are more Machmir. So you might have thought that if someone swears on the road, like those who went out of Mitzrayim, he would be Chai of Malkus for saying a Shavuos Shav. So since he means that he literally saw 600,000 people, and surely not going to be true, the Brisa is teaching us that the, does not use this in the case of Shavuos, the Shavuos is going to be claiming something which is not going to be totally false. So says the Gemara now, Amar le Rava. Rava says back to Abaye, Im kein lamali lamemar. So why does the Braisa need to say this? According to the explanation, the Braisa is telling us of open of a nidre havai, or really a shvuah savai, is simply where the person makes a shvuah of something which is true and really actually happened. So why does the Braisa teach us that such a shvuah is going to be permitted in such a case? Ve'odumia de neder katanis. And furthermore, the Gemara says that the Braisa is talking of a Shvuah of Havai, similar to the case of a Neder of Havai. So the Mishnah said two permitted cases of Nedarim of Havai, and then the Braisa says that, again, that both are going to be permitted with the garbage of Nedarim as well, but it's not true according to Bayu. It explains the Braisa referring to a Shvuah regarding where what the person made the Neder is saying. El Amar Rava, so what are we talking about over here? A different explanation of the Braisa. But Omar, Yehatsru Peros Olam Lai B'Shvuah. Person says, all the world's fruit should be ushered to me based on a shvuah. We're not seeing the road like the people went to Mitzrayim, and that's what he's making the shvuah. And it means that the fruits are going to, and then the Braisa means to tell us that the fruits are in fact permitted. They were clearly permitted in the first case of Avai, and since the statement is indeed true, they're saying it exaggerating. The Braisa is telling us they're permitted even the second case of exaggerating, because in this case, you certainly did not see this situation, and that would be similar to the case of the snake, where it's clearly something that didn't happen. So the Gemara asks, though, Amar le'Rabbeinu le'Ravashi, v'dilma hai gavra kina d'shum shanei chaza. Maybe a person saw a ton of ants, like an ant farmer, ants walking all around, v'asik lu'en shema ole Mitzrayim, and he says, those I saw like the ole Mitzrayim, v'shapir meshtab, and he's making, in fact, a correct assertion over here, and therefore the shavuah should be chal. So we must say that, again, in this case, maybe he's referring to something which is indeed actually happened, and maybe, yes, it's common people talk about people, but maybe he wasn't referring to people, he was talking about animals, and maybe you could see specifically ants, you could see this number of ants you could see around. So that is the explanation again of the Ran. So says the Gemara, turning on to the next one, but Amar Lei ki mishtaba adaita de din mishtaba. Someone who makes a shvuah, he's swearing according to the understanding of generally people use it. Even if we don't first warn him to swear according to our understanding, that's clearly what he meant. He has to go, that's the halacha that he goes by. We're not talking about ants. So therefore, a statement of like Olam Mitzrayim is clearly understood to people, not to ants, and therefore that would be the case. So the Gemara asks, "Val Daita Dinashi Lavid Inish to Mishtaba." Is it really true that assumption is correct, that people don't swear under their own understanding? V'hatanya Kishein Mishpino. So when the judges have the person swear, this is referring to a modem miktas. A modem miktas midin deraisa has to make a shvuah. Like I say, you owe me $500, and you respond, "No, I only owe you $250." So that's a din deraisa. You have to make a shvuah. To promise that you don't owe me the other 250. You don't swear according to the same condition that's in your mind. You're swearing according to our will and understanding of the Beis Din. So what is this coming to exclude? It's l'chora coming to exclude a situation where he has given wood chips to the Malvi. Let's say, and his own money gives them as coins. And therefore, he's specifying the number of coins that he gave back, because maybe he's really counting in his head the wood chips, and therefore he's not thinking that he's making a neder that's a shvuah that's not, in fact, a real shvuah. So the Gemara says, "Midikamar al dasenu," and for the fact that we have to go out of our way to say that we're going according to our words as opposed to his, "Michlal da'avin inishta mishtaba da'atnasha." People do make a shvuah based on their own words as they understand it, not as we're understanding it. So he doesn't think he makes a shvuah shav. The Gemara says, no, that's not the coming to say that case over there where you're swearing. It's got to understand the plain meaning of the words. So what is this tonight in the Mishnah coming to explain? La'puke mikanya de Rava. It's coming to literally come to exclude the cane out of Rava. What does that mean? Tahu garva davi masik b'charvi zuze. A certain person who was owed coins by his friend. Asa l'kame de Rava, and he came before Rava. Amar le lalove zil parapli. He said to the borrower, "Go pay me the coins that you owe me." Amar le parasik was. The person, the borrower says back to him, "I paid you already." Amar le Rava. Rava said back to him, "If so, go swear that you paid him." So he went and he brought a cane back and put coins inside of it. He came to the Beis Din, leaning on the cane. to make the shvua, he said to the lender, hold this cane in your hand, in order to not really want to hold a Sefer Torah. Nasav Sefer Torah, he took a Sefer Torah, v'shtavet depare kol ma da'ave le'biyade, he swore that he paid him everything in his hand. So again, what did he do? Ha'hu malver ragaz etavre lukanya. He grew angry that he made this neder, and he broke up the cane that the guy was walking with. And all the coins were spilled into the ground. That he indeed had sworn truthfully. The person who made the shvua was trying to deceive the beis din according to his understanding to give the actual coins to the malveh. So in this case, holding the cane was considered that purpose, even though he didn't really mean that way. So that's the point of the Gemara. Okay, let's pick up Akate. Is very, very, very far down into the next Amud. We'll pick up Akate until Shabbos is done. We'll pick up with the recordings and Mirtz Hashem on Sunday. Be'ezras Hashem.